In the Fugan Zazengi, Dogen Zenji says, the way is never separated from where we are now. The way is never separated from where we are now. But we've been talking throughout the session about expressing the way, as if we're looking over there for it. The way is never separated from where we are right now. And this is the final day of our longest session of the year. Can you feel the difference in your body? You just want to go home and stretch out with a little ibuprofen, I bet. But also, everything has changed in you now, if you can see it. You can recognize it. And it is not necessary to fall back into the old habits. It doesn't have to happen. But I see in your faces that something has changed. That's the best thing for me about Sesshin, is towards the end when the tension in the faces drops and something, some light comes out that's often obscured. It is inexpressible. And we are expressing it right now. So, Dotoku is all about expressing the inexpressible. And each of the speakers, each person who gave a Dharma talk, expressed a different quality of this question about how do we express the way in our lives. Tokyu talked about the channel of energy that we are. Kokyo focused on the eye of observation. Kaku, the valley drinkers, functioning in that long dipper that he made. Ryoshin's love poem to all the expressions of Sesshin. Miyoko Sensei's evocation of the heart of listening as expression. Listening as expression. And Ryotan's encouragement to all of us to verify our expression, to verify it. Dotoku, the Do character. As I mentioned the first day, it's the same Do as in Chinese, it's Dao, and it's the Dao of the Dao Te Ching. The same character. And it has different vectors of meaning, like a lot of the very old, very early Chinese characters have different elements within them that have different meanings. And generally it means the path. Zendo, path of Zen. Chado, path of tea. Right? Akido, path of energy connection. So those are the ones that we're very familiar with. But it also has this quality of expression. To say. Now, if you recall, the first line of Dao Chi Ching says, the way that can be spoken of is not the way. But actually, if you see the Chinese characters, the spoken of is the same character as the way. So when you read it in Chinese, in ancient Chinese, you'll see that the relationship between way and expression. Because you could say it says, the way that can be weighed is not the way. Huh? You see, so it kind of brings you a little closer to what the essence of what Dogen's getting at, right? This expressed which is what we've been doing in this session, all the different ways. The servers that serve us the meal, the care and attention that they put into giving us the right amount for each one of us, which is different, and each one of us has a very tentative different way of signaling to them. And they take care of us when we pull the bowl back and stuff falls on the floor. And this wonderful attention, this expression of attention, of care, of giving that the servers offer us permeates throughout all of our feeling of the meal, is the way we receive the food. What an expression of the way. The second character, Toku, is Tokuyu's first character. And it is the Te of Tao Te Ching, which is commonly translated as virtue. But when you look at the etymology of it, virtue cannot exist without power, without thoroughness. And it's heroic virtue, or strong power, or thorough expression. So it's kind of interesting to look at that. To dotoku is to thoroughly express. Nothing left out. So for me, this isn't so different from what the principal message of the Fukan Zazengi is. And Fukan Zazengi is what we studied when Seizan was Shuso last summer, you recall. In the Fukan Zazengi, we hear, when you practice wholeheartedly, it is truly the practice of the way. Practice enlightenment cannot be defiled. Making the effort to obtain the way is itself the manifestation of the way in your everyday life. Making the effort to obtain the way is in itself the manifestation of the way in your daily life. That's what this is all about. For me, anyway. We're so used to thinking in our lives, things that we do are a means to certain ends. So shin, maybe, is a means to a particular end that you have in mind. Dogen saying, no, you got it wrong. So shin is the ends. Dogen is saying that practice is not the means to our awakening. Practice is our awakening. Right now. This is what Kokyo has been reminding us of throughout the session. Every once in a while, you hear her as the monitor say, today is today. Now is now. It's not a preparation for some ideal, some enlightenment kensho you read about in some book that was printed 80 years ago. That's not what this is about. Kokyo, today is today. Now is now. So the way we live our lives has the potential to wake us up. Or to delude us, to lead us further and further into delusion. And we make a choice every minute of which way to go. Is our practice a vehicle for our ego, for attention? Is our practice a vehicle for grasping, for attaining? Or is it the actualization of our practice enlightenment? See the difference? So Dokken makes this point over and over again in this particular fascicle. How does one, he asks, express the inexpressible? And he takes three different stories and uses them as examples. Each one, from my point of view, shows the relationship of practice to awakening. The daily unfolding of practice in our lives. The awakening of ourselves to being enlightening beings. They're not two. The first story, let me just take a sip here in this beautiful cup, my cup. The first story is kind of, you can hardly notice it. It's when Dogen repeats several times the phrase skin, flesh, bones, and marrow in reference to what it is to go beyond expression. He talks about Bodhidharma giving the robe to Master Wike. He says, "In this way, how can the expression of bowing three times and standing in the original position be the same as an expression of those who view the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow as separate from one another?" Dogen's talking about a famous story, which is part of the Zen canon, apocryphal for sure, where Bodhidharma gets ready to go back to India. And he questions his principal successors about their expression. So he asks each one their expression is to express their understanding. And Daofu says, "We should neither be attached to letters nor be apart from letters. We should allow the way to function freely." And Bodhidharma says, "You have attained my skin." It's beautiful. And then the nun, Dzongchi, says, "It's like the joy of seeing Akshobha Buddha's land just once and not again." And Bodhidharma says, "You have attained my flesh." Dao Yu says, "The four great elements are originally empty, and the five skandhas do not exist. Therefore, I see nothing to be attained." Bodhidharma said, "You have attained my bones." Wike came forward, made a full bow, stood up, and returned to where he was standing. And Bodhidharma said, "You have attained my marrow." And he transmitted the robe to Wike. So that's the story of the transmission. And there is much discussion. Let me tell you, there is much discussion among Dogen scholars and teachers and teachers throughout history about whether Dogen is saying that Wike's expression was superior or not. There are different translations that lead you to believe different things. Can there be, I ask, a superior in the Dharma? But the main point that Dogen is making in Dotoku is about the embodiment of practice. Enlightenment, as seen as or expression of the inexpressible, as seen as Wike's simple bow. Wike, at that time, is embodying everything that was said by the other teachers. Daofu's expression of no attachment, Dzongchi's devotional joy, Tao Yu's emptiness, all in that wholehearted bow. Have all of those elements together. You could say Wike's expression was like Vimalakirti's great silence. The bow expressing the inexpressible. So I ask you, how are you expressing the inexpressible in your daily life? So the next thing that happens is Dogen puts forth another example of this. No separation, not two, not a question of means and ends. This one from Joshu. It is what Myoko Sensei spoke to so clearly. Joshu, great master Zhenju, said, if you sit steadfastly without leaving the monastery for a lifetime and do not speak for 5 or 10 years, no one will call you speechless. After that, even Buddhas will not equal you. As Sensei said, first it's good to recognize that the monastery means what it means to us, or even what it meant to Joshu, who had many lay students. The word monastery is a word for Zen practice for us. It is that moment when we are aware of our practice and all that it entails. And if you look at the word speak, do not speak for 5 or 10 years, as literally, truly not speaking. And then you look at the word speechless as meaning without expression. You can paraphrase this whole section and say, if you sit steadfastly without leaving your practice for a lifetime and do not speak any words for 5 or 10 years, no one will call you without expression. No one will call you without expression. You know, I should just wash my mouth out right now. Because every time we talk about the Dharma, you know, it just... Hold your nose. This leads to such misunderstanding, both on the part of the speaker and on the part of the person that hears. Because he cannot be expressed. That's what the Tao Te Ching was telling us at the very beginning. It cannot be expressed. So if you sit steadfastly without leaving your practice for a lifetime and do not speak any words, thank God. Don't tell anyone about your practice. Just practice. Actualize it. Manifest it. Express it in your body, but don't talk about it. All right, that's the end of the Dharma talk. Okay, I don't know. I'm going down the wrong path here. I can feel it. Our sitting right now is expressing the way. And you know, Joshu was known, they say his mouth glittered when he opened it. It just sparked with the cleverness the brilliance of his responses. And all of them were centered on, you know, really ordinary things. Wash your bowls. 5 pounds of flax. Chinshu grows big radishes. Cypress tree in the garden. Always grounding his words, his brilliance, just what's happening. Today is today. So I think Dogen offers us this example to show us how we can recognize expression as our years of practice, and our years of practice as expression. practice is not a means to expression of the way. It is the expression of the way. And then he makes that most clear in the Valley Drinker koan that we've all talked about a little bit. And I see it from the point of view of how Dogen is showing the unity of practice and expression. I know you've heard the story 6 or 7 times now, but I have to tell it too. We have this valley drinker who we could say is taking long draughts of space, of profound emptiness. I imagine him sitting on a rock, looking at the vast spaciousness of the valley and just taking it in, taking it in. So he uses this long dipper that Kako spoke about, a functioning object that he himself made, as Ryotan pointed out. So just those two elements show us that he is joining practice and realization. And we could ask, to what end? He uses the dipper to drink emptiness from the valley. And he shows his insight to the wandering monk who comes by, emphasizing the relationship of the vastness of the empty valley and his own self-made dipper and practice. A clear allusion to the relationship between the wholeness, the absolute, and the uniqueness of this one individual, the relative, the one and the many. Wowed, the monk runs back up to Zui Feng and tells him about this wise hermit. And Zui Feng, you know, I checked this one word because it seems so strange, rushes off. I remember the first few times I read this, I always thought, you know, he heard about it, and then when he had time, he went down the hill. But nearly everyone says rushes off, so there must be some strength in that verb. I don't read the ancient Chinese, but I imagine, or the mixture of Chinese and Japanese that Dogen used, but Zui Feng rushes off to witness this hermit. And he brings along that razor, the traditional symbol of cutting off one's attachments, traditional symbol of ordination, of moving into a more traditional model of practice, quality of humility. So he sees the hermit and he says, if you have expression, I will not shave your head. And it sounds so strange. I think when you probably read it the first time, what? Read that again? If you have expression, I will not shave your head. You would think it would be, if you have expression, I will shave your head. Recognizing your insight. Or, if you don't have expression, I won't shave your head. But instead, Zui Feng is saying, if you thoroughly express, if you have expression of the way, I won't shave your head. What is he saying? If you see what Zui Feng represents, what that razor represents, formal practice, as a mere means to attainment, to expression, then there's no need to shave you. Because the hermit already has clarity and can express it. So if he sees it as a means to an end, to be able to express, then he'll take the option by expressing the way. Put it another way, Zui Feng is saying, if you have the expression, the ends, then I will not give you the traditional practice form, the way of practice. I will not give you the means if you have the ends. It's a goofy trap. I think a lot of times Dogen is a little goofy. The hermit sees through it, though. This is the brilliance of it. He sees through it and washes his head and sticks it out for its Leifeng to shave. He says, no, the practice is expression. The Zazen, the Kinhin, the Orioki, the Samu, the chanting are expressions of the way. Your alarm clock when you get up and you go to work are expressions of the way. Steadfast sitting is the expression. Practice and enlightenment are not two. So I see Dogen emphasizing this practice, the unity of practice and expression here. And the hermit saw that he could not avoid or refuse Sui Feng's offer to endorse formal practice. And this is what Dogen called beyond expression. The kind of expression that acknowledges the inexpressibility of practice enlightenment. That refuses to be caught in a logic trap. I mean, that's so wonderful. The refusal to be stuck. And in our world, you know, mostly what we encounter is this question of a means and an end. We do this to get that. We want to accomplish this so that we can blank. And it's mechanical. And it lacks spontaneity. It lacks compassion and joy. It feeds pride and envy. And it leaks into our practice, let's face it. We think we're practicing in order to attain. To attain happiness, to attain calm, to attain attention, recognition. And in that schism, we create suras. I have been well schooled in Yiddish. And sometimes it's the only word that will do. It's not just tribulation, but there's an energy there with suras. We grasp and fail to understand that just joining in, just joining Sangha, just doing what we're asked to do is in and of itself the practice. It's not a means to attain. And you know, this is not just an abstraction about this community or Zen communities in general. I mean, nowadays there's such a popularization of meditation, of mindfulness in society. Huge sanghas online. And so much of it is stripped of traditional teachings and forms that there arises a question about it. When we use meditation solely as a means, devoid of precepts, teachers, sangha, what will be the outcome, I wonder? Will consumers be more focused on consuming mindfully? Will workers be more calm and obedient at work? Is it enough to learn to focus the mind? Or is there something missing? You know, it's a complicated question, and I don't know the answer to it. It is a question I hope that our Sangha will take up next year in various discussions, because I think it's really an important vital issue. I have great faith in steadfast sitting, but steadfast sitting alone, like the valley drinker, not sure about that. We have to look carefully. But we do know that when we accept our practice as our awakening, we can function in the world moment to moment in an enlightening way, free of that grasping, free of that inflation of the ego, so that we can actually just be expression, expressing our truth that arises out of our authentic self, our intimate recognition of our relationship to all that we've ever encountered and those we're around in this moment. So in the next 24 hours, we get to sit, walk, lie down, stand, eat. Let's commit ourselves to that thoroughly. Let's recognize that that practice, right now, potentiated after these 9 days of intense practice, is and of itself what it is we need. So let me encourage you with this gatha. Expressing your practice in your out-breath, expressing your realization in your in-breath, trusting your expression, this is your practice.